Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Mizmor Kuf Mem Aleph, the 141st Psalm in the book of Tehillim. It is a short Mizmor, it is a powerful Mizmor. Let's take a quick look at it inside. It is consisting of 10 psukim in total, and the way it's broken down into two major sections. The first two psukim are an introduction, Mizmor David, Hashem Keras Sicha, Chushali, Ha'azino Koli, Bekori Lach, Hashem, please listen to me. Immediately, as I call to you, there's a sense of desperation, a tone of urgency in this Mizmor. The two sections themselves are broken as follows. Gimel to Zion, 3 to 7, is the section of request from protecting the person from the seductions or joining evildoers. And the last section, Ches to Yud, those last three psukim, are about being saved from the traps of the evildoers. Shomreini, Midei, Pach, Yakshuli, save me from the traps of those who set it up for me. So the general theme is this person, the Mishorer, this narrator, wants to escape the Rishayim. But the two ways he describes it are very different. The first is escaping from their allures, and the second one is not to fall into their traps. What is the relationship between these two ideas? So one way of spinning it could be the following. Is the traps that are mentioned in the second section are not traps to harm a person physically, but the traps are the allures themselves. Meaning, don't let me be influenced by these terrible people. And Hashem, please, don't let me fall into their traps, whatever seductions, whatever allures that it looks like is good for me. I don't want to fall into them. I don't want to listen to their words. And therefore, the two sections are like a hand and a glove, very closely related. Another way of looking at it is also, as the Diet Mekrav points out, as Rav Amos Chacham points out, is a very powerful way of looking at this Mizmor. And that is that oftentimes we're in situations where people say, oh, just join us. Oh, you know, it doesn't really matter if you cut this corner, you ignore that rule, you fudge the edges, it's not a problem. And you stand to your principles, you stick to your guns. And because you stick to your guns, they start mocking you. They start trapping you. They start hurting you because you decided that you were better than them. That you decided that you're going to be Mr. Good Guy. In that case, you actually end up hurting. So what's the relationship? The first stage is where they're trying to seduce you to be part of their plot. The second part of the Mizmor is when you refuse to become part of their plot, where you beg Hashem, please save me from the traps they're laying for me because I was not going to be part of them. This is something we know to be so true in the workplace. It's something we know whether we're at school, whether it be in high school or college, where there's so many times where there's influences that if we're even able to sustain the influences, nonetheless, even if we're able to remain true to our values, we still have to suffer the consequences afterwards of staying true to our values, or sometimes being made to be the aggressor, even though one is really the victim. In trying to understand the events behind our Mizmor, it sounds like it may depend on who these evildoers are. It may sound like these are overlords, whether it be a nation who is subjugating the nation of Israel in the land of Israel, or whether it be another nation that the Jews are found in their exile, that they are part of, and they are at the whim and disposal of this nation who want them to do their will. And this is the person calling out and saying, Hashem, I so don't want to do this. Please save me from doing what they want me to do. Please save me from the type of corrupt society, the corrupt rules that they're putting me through. Another way of looking at this is this could be the afternoon prayer. The second pasuk in the introduction, which is a very famous pasuk, is Tikon Tefilasi Ketores Lefonecha. Let my prayer be prepared for you like the incense in front of you, masas kapai, minchas orev, that the fruit of my hands, the gift of my hands, be like a minchas orev, the meal offering of the evening. So it could be that this was said on a daily basis over the Tamid Shal Ben Arabim. It could be one of the early evolutions of the mincha prayer itself, as a person is trying to come to Hashem and ask for continued protection, continued assurance in insurance against evil. It is interesting that the Chida presents a third option as to the events behind this, and that is, he points out that the second pasuk, Tikon Tefilasi Ketores Lefonecha, those four words form the acronym Taf Taf Kuf Lamed, which is the numerical value of 930, which is the 930 years that Adam HaRishon lived. As the Chida has pointed out earlier in Tehillim, David HaMelech himself, and this Mizmor is attributed to David, is actually a continuation of the soul of Adam. Adam, so to speak, contributed 70 years of his 1,000 years that he was supposed to be allotted to be the life of David. And David HaMelech believes and understands that his life is Tikon Tefilasi Ketores Lefonecha. Let my life be the way that atones for all the complicated years of Adam Rishon before me. In trying to understand places in our davening, this appears, although this mizmor does not appear wholesale, Pasuk Beis certainly appears in many, many times in our tefillos, certainly over the Yom Nirayim, and in fact it's actually used in the Gemara in Brachos on Dav Vav Amot Aleph, where the Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that a person should always be very careful. Actually, it's Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok after Rabbi Yochanan who says that a person should be very careful about Tfilas Mincha. Why? Because that was the time when Eliyahu was answered at Har Carmel, and it relates to our pasuk over here of Tikkun Tfilasi Masas Kapai Minchas Arev. That a person should be very careful about the way that they daven, certainly in the afternoon and in the evening, they're davening. So it's not specifically appearing in Tfilah, but it actually sets up the tefillah in the evening. We're going to look at one pasuk in the spotlight this segment, and that is pasuk vav. It's a very interesting pasuk. The pasuk reads as follows: Nishmatu bidei sela shavtehen. Their judges have slipped on the rocks. V'shamu amorai kinoemu. Listen to my words because they are pleasant. What is this referring to? So it is interesting. Rashi says that it may be referring to whoever this overlord is, whoever this negative influence who is trying to demand of us certain actions, that overlord is turning to us and they're going to actually slip. They're going to slip on the rocks. They're not going to be able to endure. That might be referring to what it's going on to. Rashi does quote the Medrash that this may be referring to Aaron and Moshe. Not negative leaders, but positive leaders who ultimately slipped on the rock, so to speak. The rock was what disallowed them from entering the land of Israel, being the leaders to continue from the Dor Midbar into the Dor Boreh Aretz. It is, though, interesting. There is another application of this, and that is in the introduction to Likutei Maharan. The Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, in the 25th paragraph of the Hakdamas, is a very fascinating insight. And that he says is that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, is constantly evolving. Like the person evolves during their life and they become hopefully a better person as they go on, as a person evolves, so too their inclinations, their indulgences, and the complications of what they want and the sophistication of what they want also evolves and becomes harder and harder, and you can't use the same antibiotics you were using previously to knock out the growths or the diseases, so to speak, the spiritual diseases and requests and indulgences that a person wants to get involved with. Which is why the Gemara in Sukkah says that b'chol yom yitzroi shel adam iskaber olav, that a person's yetzer, a person's inclinations, keep on getting bigger and stronger and more far-reaching every single day. And therefore, he says, a person needs to therefore always be on the lookout, and a person needs to always be evolving. If we think that the technology of security that we're going to be employing in places that we need to protect is going to be the same as the 1990s, when it's now 30 years later, that's not simply not sufficient. The evil has evolved in such a way that the dangers of today are not the dangers of 10 years ago, not 20 years ago, not 30 years ago. And therefore, the same way in our own lives, we can't think, you know, well, I learnt a little bit in school and that was my spiritual protection for life. I had 12 years of day school, so I can do whatever else I want. A person's spiritual capacity has to evolve as well with the complications that their life is. They have to be constantly learning. If a person's not constantly learning, how can they possibly expect to navigate the circumstances in the spiritual landscape that they're finding themselves in? In fact, Warren Bennis has a book on leadership, and he published a 30-year anniversary edition, and in the introduction he pointed out that in fact the leadership, the world is changing so fast that no longer is a map of a possible antidote. You need to have a compass because the landscape is shifting so much. If that's true about the world around us, then surely the challenges that we're experiencing are also ever-evolving, and we require a compass internally. That requires a little bit of learning. And at the end of this paragraph, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov quotes our pasuk where he says, "V'shamu amarai ki no'emu." Listen to these words because they are pleasant. And although he's quoting this pasuk as, so to speak, just he's leveraging the words to listen to him, I believe it's relating to the first part of the pasuk as well, which is that nishmatu bidei sela shavtehem, that if we're not careful, we will slip on those same rocks if we're not going to adhere to the fact that we need to keep evolving. They say the story about the Chofetz Chaim, of blessed memory, that when he used to daven, there was a Talmud of his who used to notice that he would have a large print sitter in front of him, and he'd follow it, he put his face very close to the sitter, and he'd follow with his finger every word as he said the davening. So one day he was about to start davening, and the Talmud noticed that the sitter wasn't in front of him. It wasn't on the Chofetz Chaim's shtender. So he ran to the back of the Beis Medrash, looked in the bookshelf, found the sefer, brought it right to the Chofetz Chaim, put it in front of him, opened on the right page. The Chofetz Chaim very gently closed the sefer and continued to daven. So the Tana came over afterwards and apologized. I'm sorry, Rebbe. Rosh Hashiva didn't mean to in any way assume. And the Rosh Chofetz Chaim says, no, there's no problem. He says, but what makes you think that the avoda that I was working on, which was working on learning and davening the words from the Siddur, is the same avoda I'm working on this week? Things change. What I need to do now is not what I needed to do last week. And what I needed to do last week is not the same thing I needed to do 3 weeks ago. That's real avoda. That's what a person's really working on themselves. And that's what this mizmor seems to be talking about. Which is why, perhaps, this mizmor is said consistently on a daily basis. It's the mincha prayer, so to speak, the primordial mincha prayer before the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah created the structure that we have. Because a person always has to be on their guard. A person always has to realize that they cannot rest on their laurels when it comes to avoda Hashem, when it comes to their personal advancement in their spiritual capacity. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.